Hello, welcome to the New Stack Makers, a podcast where we talk about at-scale application development, deployment, and management.
Hi, Luis. Why don't we just start off with you telling us about OctoML?
Sure. OctoML is a machine learning deployment platform. So we take models, machine learning models out of the hands of data scientists and get them ready for deployment in all sorts of different hardware, for any hardware, I would say, from edge devices to cloud settings. Yeah.
What is the technology based upon? I understand it is based upon research that you've done and anything else?
Yeah, so it's primarily based on research that started at UW and had, you know, now it's a thriving open source community and had many collaborators, including Amazon and a lot of other players in the industry. So the core research essentially, it's called TVM, Tensor Virtual Machine. Think of it as, you know, a common layer across a wide set of hardware targets that exposes a clean interface to the upper layers of the stack, say the machine learning frameworks like TensorFlow, PyTorch, and so on. And what it does, you know, to get a little bit more technical and interesting, is machine learning models are very compute intensive. They use a lot of compute resources. So that means that having to optimize a model to deploy is not something optional. You have to. Once you're serious about deploying a model, you have to understand the hardware and really tune and optimize it to get it ready for deployment. What Apache TVM does is create a set of common primitives across all sorts of different hardware, from embedded CPUs to server CPUs, small GPUs, large GPUs, accelerators, and so on. And then it uses machine learning internally to produce efficient machine learning code. Okay, so to get a little bit meta and inception here, uses machine learning for machine learning code optimization. The reason that's important is because, by and large, today, the work done to get a model ready for deployment is manual. It involves a lot of manual software engineering to get your model ready to be deployed. And we automate that using these machine learning-based techniques. It was developed at UW and a bunch of other folks in the community. And now TVM is Apache TVM, so it's an open source top-level patch software foundation project. It's been used in production in a variety of settings. And that's sort of like one of the key pieces of our platform. And so the platform is also uses other software stacks. So it also uses some hardware vendor-specific ones. And we choose what's best for the end user, right? Because what the platform does is offer what we call, you know, performance, right? So run your model well and make the most out of the hardware target. Automation will not require expensive and rare, slow engineering. And third, offers choice. So the ability for you to choose where you're going to deploy your model. So you don't have vendor lock-in or you don't have GPU model lock-in, allows you to choose what's best for your deployment scenario, either in the edge or in the cloud.
Okay, great. So tell me about the machine learning on the machine learning and, you know, what form does that take?
Okay. So the idea here is that once you get a machine learning model and you want to run in your target hardware, there's billions of ways in which you can actually produce the code to represent your model and run it on the target hardware. The question is, how do you pick the fastest one? You don't have time to run them all because it could take, you know, minutes or hours per option, right? And to do billions of them is not practical. So we use machine learning models to guide this process of exploring the optimization space and picking what are just the right ways in which your model should be compiled for the target hardware to make the most out of the memory system, the execution units, vector units, and so on.
So is the code that's being added, are they libraries, or what is it that is being added to the machine learning model?
It's fresh code generated for your model. So, you know, we take a model as input and produce an executable that is custom generated for your model. It's a compiler, right? So think of it as your model with data and code, right? So as your source code input, right? And the output is a binary highly tuned for that model on that specific hardware target, right?
So when did the project start?
About five or six years ago.
And it's being used by the cloud service providers and others?
Yeah, it's been used in production. You know, Amazon has been used in production, being fantastic partners and collaborators on the open source community. It's been used in Amazon and Facebook and a bunch of other big players. So, and the hardware vendors also, who are a good chunk of our partners today at OctoML, hardware vendors like Qualcomm, ARM, AMD, Xilinx, and so on, are all users of TVM because they want to enable their hardware to be useful for folks deploying machine learning models, right? So a loose analogy here, sort of like a machine learning model operating system, right, that bridges the model to the target silicon.
That's an interesting concept, machine learning operating system. And you define it as an operating system because you're actually helping perform the executables on the hardware itself.
Yeah, so it's a loose analogy. It's not technically an operating system, right? So, but it's the analogy here is have your model, you have to bridge your model to the target silicon, to the target hardware, right? So that's what operating systems do for general applications. That's what TVM and our platform does, right, for machine learning models, right? Get your model to run on the hardware and make the most out of the hardware target, right?
So how does that then relate to the actual use of the models themselves? When I was talking with you before, you were talking about how data scientists can build models and then deploy them to your platform, and then they can be ready to go into production without the need of a software engineer.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, you said it very well. Today, lots of data scientists, when they have a model that they are happy with it, they want to deploy, they have to work with software engineers and wait, you know, weeks or months to get a deployable artifact. What our platform does is automates the process completely. Like a data scientist can upload a model to our OctoML platform, and it's a SaaS, offered as SaaS. And, you know, the system interprets the models, gets them ready to be run on different hardware, benchmarks them, see how well they run on edge or cloud devices. And then the data scientists can pick the one that they want and then get a module ready to be deployed with just a couple lines of code. Right, so we really want to, you know, broaden the set of users that can get models ready for deployment and to run at peak performance on their hardware, which is something that's needed for machine learning, right? Because otherwise it's just too slow or too costly.
So who do you see using these practices? Because, for instance, we cover a lot of companies that are developing infrastructure software, right? We cover a lot of companies that are in the space where they're developing at scale, development, deployment, and management for like environments with Kubernetes, for instance. Mm-hmm. Are these the companies that are adopting machine learning, and how are they adopting it? And who are some of the others, and who would be your kind of primary, what would be the first companies you think of?
Right. So just to put in context, right? So if you're going to deploy a machine learning model inside a container, say using Kubernetes, for example, you need to get your model ready to, you need the bits, right? That's actually going to run and on the hardware, that's going to be a component of your container, right? So that's where we come in. So we have an API where, as you know, customers deploying models in Kubernetes for large scale inference, for example, in the cloud, they would call our platform with the model, get the bits back, and then put it in the container. Okay, so that's, we insert ourselves in that flow, which people would do by hand. We do it automatically via our flow, right? So companies that are doing this are companies that are deploying, for example, large scale computer vision to do content monitoring in videos, or if you're deploying chatbots that you have your language models running in the cloud, or if you're deploying on edge devices, in that case, you're not necessarily going to be using, you know, containers, but you need to have a module that actually runs on your, say, on your phone to recognize your face or to recognize your voice or gestures, for example. In that case, we produce a module, again, also ready to be deployed on these edge devices. So.
But a lot of these companies are using continuous delivery, so they can continue to deliver the code. They can, and they might have, the more advanced companies have hundreds of releases per day, mm-hmm. right? Where is machine learning in that, in that maturity cycle?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, one can think of a machine learning model as a, you know, an integral component of an application, yeah. right? So think of it as you have a module in a library, now you're going to have that you deploy as part of your application. Machine learning model is one more component of an application, right? So these models get updated frequently because, you know, the data changes, or they have better ideas on to make the model more accurate and more efficient for whatever it needs to do, or maybe just the environment changes and need to train your model again, right? So that means that these models have an update cadence that people have to deal with, right? So, and the way this interacts with CI/CD is that if you didn't have automation, which is what we offer, every time you change your model, you have to do manual work to get it ready for, you know, your next, you know, delivery cycle, right? But with our platform, the way we plug it into a typical CI/CD flow is we have an API where, you know, the model come from, say, a GitHub repository and be uploaded to our platform via an API, download the module, make it part of your deployment package, and then, you know, insert into the flow. So we are very parallel to CI/CD in that way, because we can integrate into a typical CI/CD flow. And it's complicated, and the whole MLOps field is evolving fast, and it's a bit noisy, right? And a bit, you know, defined in a million ways. But loosely, the way I think about MLOps is, you know, the confluence between DevOps and DataOps, but, you know, specific for machine learning, right? So
yeah, and I guess my question is about what tools we see emerging, right? So for instance, we're starting to see, for instance, companies like CircleCI, they bought a company called, I think, Vamp. because what they were starting to see was in the continuous delivery cycle, there might be two different parts of the organization developing services simultaneously, but they don't know that each one is going to be deploying this service, right? Mm-hmm. So then it goes into production, and then suddenly there's issues that arise, right? Mm-hmm. And so they bought this company Vamp because what they wanted to say is like, hey, you know, Vamp allows you to kind of like, they use machine learning so they can detect those kinds of things in production and then roll it back.
Right.
Right.
Cool. Got it. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, draw parallels to MLOps, right? So let's say that in the MLOps flow, you know, let's say liberally from data to a deployed machine learning model, right? So you have data management tools, training data, training saturation tools like Snorkel, for example, or Scale AI. Yeah. Right. And then there are, you know, there comes actually building models, let's say model repositories that maps the model to the data that was used to be trained and keep that consistent. There are companies like, you know, ours, which are like unique in the space in automating the engineering required to get a model ready for deployment. And then other tools that are emerging now are tools that monitor how are the models doing in deployment. Right. So see, like, is there drift going on? Meaning that is your model now performing in an environment that wasn't really trained for? Therefore, yeah, it's misbehaving. And therefore, you have to say, it sends an alert to the folks like, hey, your model is misbehaving. Go and refine the training data and build a better model. So this space is moving fast. There are a couple of companies playing this space. One that I know more about is called Y Labs, where they do model monitoring and observability. You want to observe, you know, what the model is doing in deployment. But this is moving super fast because the models are moving fast, right? The models are evolving fast.
So the models are moving fast. So what kind of tools do you see emerging that are going to be needed? We're always seeing the need for new tools, for instance, in continuous delivery environments. You know, they might be testing tools, it might be monitoring tools. Now we see a lot of new observability tools. Mm-hmm. And so what are the tools that you're seeing, that you have seen developed, and you're seeing the need for more development?
Yeah, so first of all, make sensible and good deployment decisions. Yeah. Like, so machine learning models, as we discussed, can be very compute intensive, which means if you can deploy it at scale, cost is a significant factor. Yeah. So if you're like, no, how do you do procurement? Like, which instance we should deploy on? You have to benchmark across a bunch of instances and pick the one that gives you, say, the highest throughput per dollar, right? So I'd say benchmarking tools is something that I see the need for. Also tools, again, as you're saying, to monitor how the models are doing post-deployment to determine when they're no longer appropriate, they need to be refreshed, right? Because the environment has changed too much. Or tools just really to manage the whole, you know, diversity of different scenarios in which it's deployed, right? So if you're going to deploy it on the edge, for example, there's 200 different Android phones. How do you manage the versions of the right, you know, the right version of model for each phone to actually run well in each one of the target devices? And so I think tools to manage the hardware diversity is something that I think would be interesting.
Is there a need for drift detection? How is drift detection?
Yeah, so say that I'll put that in the model observability, model monitoring bucket, which what they do, they instrument the models such that as they're using in deployment, you can flag when, hey, so there's some invariants that were broken or some data distribution that looks different than when you train the model, and then you flag it to the model to be refined later, right? So I'd say model instrumentation is one component, and the other one is that instrumentation generates data. So you need to crunch that data to figure out that, say, drift is happening, for example.
Yeah. Imagine I was kind of this analogy of like, you know, being in a rowboat and you don't have your oars, right? And so you're set adrift, right? You know, and then like suddenly, like, you know, and you're like waving and saying, hey, come help me. Someone come helps
right.
You, you know, good. That's great.
Yeah, that's because it's drifting away. Right?
Yeah, right. But it can become a problem if like you get caught in the current, right?
Uh-huh. You know, you move away
and then you can't wave anymore to the people out there, right? You know, so there's kind
that's
of some funny
analogy. So here's another analogy that might be appropriate here. So I'll try it on. So say that you train a computer vision model in the summer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then to development, then it's fall. The trees look different. You know, the environment looks different. Maybe your computer vision model is not going to be as effective because it's going to be confused by the colorful trees around in the environment. Right. That's one example of you training one scenario, but the actual setting which needs to deploy just drifts away from what the model was deployed, was trained with. Right. So.
Yeah. And then you could get into the whole discussion about who's training who, right? You know, is the natural environment training?
So like, yeah, don't let the world change, you know, just have AI control how the world should look like as opposed to updating itself, right? Yeah, yeah.
So on a final note, AWS reInvent, what's your takeaways from your own perspective?
Lots of exciting stuff. Great to see more specialized hardware for AI and machine learning. I know I'm hoping I'm being too self-serving here. That's something that catches my attention, right? So I thought that it's definitely interesting to see the, you know, use of specialized and custom hardware for machine learning intensifying, which makes sense because it's a workload that's so compute intensive. I thought it was pretty interesting, you know, AWS capturing more legacy business. I particularly found the mainframe porting tool pretty cool, converting COBOL to Java. And then, you know, I'm curious how they're going to deal with, okay, so is it going to be reliable as a mainframe is, right? So I thought that was definitely an interesting aspect. And then, you know, some of the industry verticals and seeing the specialization of the whole set of services for specific industries is something that it's interesting. It brings more diversity and it makes sense because applications are getting more specialized, right? So.
Luis, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Alex. It's great. Thank you. Thanks for the questions. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe on Simplecast to listen to more episodes on the new Stack Makers. Create and share your favorite audiogram using our Simplecast player. For more articles and great stories, go to thenewstack.io.